You know, I try to think about Christmas and these special times and being with family and friends, and especially God's family. It's, you know, it's so special, and you know, I'm just so touched tonight to be here with you and on this Christmas Eve. And we're looking at the birth of Christ, and today we've titled this whole Christmas Eve service "When Love Comes Down." And you know, that love, that baby in the manger, had many names. And matter of fact, they were extraordinary names. We talked about this, and I kind of want to follow up on Isaiah 9. Jeff read it earlier in the as we get going. But Isaiah saw the picture of the Christ being born 800 years before his birth. And, you know, there were a lot of extraordinary births in the Bible. Jesus wasn't the first one. Moses was special. John the Baptist was extraordinary. It wasn't uncommon. But this one was extraordinary. Extraordinary. Kind of like my mom's third son. Special, you guys might say. Or strange, odd, bizarre. I don't know, whatever word that comes to your mind. I think when you think about babies, you know, and you have your own child, or you have pictures of your grandchildren, you think those children are special, don't we? You think, oh, I have the perfect child or the perfect grandbaby, but we know today that we celebrate today this special child that was born. Again, Isaiah, let's read this again together, speaks about this. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we talked before about, we went through his name, Wonderful Counselor. You know, and this, that word wonderful, remember, it means incomprehensible. Incomprehensible. His birth was wonderful. His life was wonderful. His teaching, his wisdom was wonderful. The miracles that he did was wonderful. His resurrection was wonderful. His ascension, they say, they just left them astounded when he went up to the air. And then his coming back is what? It's wonderful. It's incomprehensible what's going to take place. And then we talked about Christ being the wonder. He was a wonderful counselor. And that really talked about his incomparable wisdom and knowledge. It's only found in Jesus Christ, the Wonderful Counselor, and it's through his word. And so I asked everybody last Sunday to focus on finding out and living by Jesus' wonderful counsel, his wisdom. Now the second name it tells us in Isaiah 9:6 is, what is it? Somebody help me here. What's the second name he gives us? Mighty God, that's right. He will be called Almighty God. In Hebrew, that name is called El Shaddai. El Shaddai, which means all-powerful. Think about this. Jesus Christ, before he was born, spoke and everything became created. That's how much power he has. That when he spoke, light was created, universes were created, the earth was created. All things, he says, when you look at the beginning of Genesis, he said, let there be, and he speaks, and that's how much power he has. Just in his spoken word, these things were created. He spoke everything into existence. Men, for us as man, he took the time to form us personally, and that was powerful. He's limitless. His power is everlasting. He's the Almighty God, which means that he can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. And he answers to no one concerning his plans and purpose. She got that new phone, didn't you? Somebody help her out over there. Just so. There we go. Awesome. That was the Bible, huh? Trying to follow along on their scriptures. All right. No problem. This is what Deuteronomy said about Jesus. Deuteronomy, Moses is writing, chapter 10, verse 17. He says, "For the Lord your God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the great and what? Awesome God." Jesus is mighty, ladies and gentlemen. He's the mighty God. Listen, in battle, he defeated, on the cross, he defeated death and sin. In the future battle, he's going to come back and defeat all his enemies. He's mighty to save. He has all power to save us and anyone who calls upon his name. Put yourself in Isaiah's shoes. All of a sudden, you're being told, you're getting this revelation from God that Jesus is this baby's coming and he's going to be the wonderful counselor, the mighty God. And here you're trying to think of, wow, this is exceedingly abundantly more than I can believe or even comprehend. 800 years before Jesus was born. That's why I like to say Jesus is, when we talk about his power, he's the undisputed, all-time, all-powerful, mighty God. No one comes close. His third name there, that's the, his third name is, what is that? Now, some people get confused on this. Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father. Let's make sure we get something straight here. Jesus is not the Father. Jesus is the Father is not the Son. Jesus is the Son. So when it says he's the everlasting Father, he's talking about something else. We have the Father, we have the Son, we have the Holy Spirit. That is the that's the Trinity. One God, eternal, invisible, yet indivisible, yet distinct in personalities and persons. That's one of the profound mysteries. I wish I could explain it to you, but that's about as all I got. There's two profound mysteries in the Bible, and one of them is the Trinity. The other one is Christmas morning when God came into this world in the flesh, the incarnation. It's somewhat of the great mysteries of the Bible. But what it means when Jesus is called the everlasting Father, it means that he is the Father of eternity. He's the Father of eternity. He is before and above and beyond time. He is actually the possessor of eternity. You know, back in the days when this was written, the kings of the day were called fathers of their nation. We sometimes called George Washington the father of our nation, didn't we? A lot of times we call the men and women who served in armed forces sons and daughters. You see how they're making this? They're using the family type as symbolic. And Jesus is the Father of eternity. Now, there's a problem whenever you mention the word Father, excuse me, with some people. And that they think of the earthly fathers. Some people didn't have very good earthly fathers. So, and an earthly father, they don't last anyway. Even if you're a great earthly father, you're here today and gone tomorrow. And the problem with earthly fathers is that they're flesh, they're human, they're part of the what was created. They're part of creation's fall, and they're not perfect. Whether they're kings or just the father of a nation or father of a family. But Jesus, he's the eternal Father, and he's going to lead, which a lot of times the earthly fathers or kings, fathers of nations, didn't. He's going to lead with compassion and care and kindness and mercy. I mean, isn't that the kind of father we all long for? All of us had fathers, but they weren't fathers of forever. I was just thinking tonight is my mom and dad's anniversary. And my dad has been gone since 1997. So my mom's probably sent it home by herself, 92-year-old. The poinsettia was her flower at her wedding. But he didn't, you know, he was earthly. He didn't last forever. But Jesus is our everlasting Father. And he is the possessor of eternity. And because Jesus is the everlasting Father, he gives us eternal life. That may we be with him forever. That's what it means when he's called the everlasting Father. He is the Father of eternity, the possessor of eternity. Now, the last name, of course, is, what is the last one? Prince of Peace. And when you think about it, from even before Jesus was born, back when Isaiah wrote this, even back before Isaiah, even if you go back to the beginning, there hasn't been really much peace. There's always been wars going on. I mean, there's nations warring against nations, and there's been religious wars and civil wars and family wars and personal wars. Now we got Star Wars. I'm not sure what to do with that. The problem is that because of, James says, the reason why we have all these wars is because it's because of man's sinful, selfish desires. Or as we say, if you haven't seen, it's the dark force that's within us. That's why we have these wars. That's why we fight against nations. That's why we fight against people in our own country. That's why we fight against our family members. That's why we have battles inside of us with ourselves. It's all because of that nature. Now, when the Bible calls Jesus the Prince of Peace, he's not talking about this peace, you know, this physical safety or absence of war or conflict. You know, our definition of peace, our definition of peace is kind of like, it's kind of like going to, you know, headed to Florida, you know what I mean? When I think of peace, I think of me sitting in the sand. How's that country song go? My toes in the water and my butt in the sand and an umbrella drink in my hand. What's wrong with that reality? What's wrong with that picture of peace? Yeah. There's a lot of things with that. But the reality is that you got to go home one day. You got to leave the beach. You got to quit looking out at the ocean. That last day of vacation when you're hanging out on the beach, that really stinks, doesn't it? Because you got to come back to reality. So this peace, that the Prince of Peace and the peace the Bible talk about, it's not absent of conflict or war or turmoil. It's spiritual. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And what it means is this. It's all caught up in Romans. I don't know how this is going to work out. Hope you can read this. Here it is. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an unright person, though some might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And that since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by death of his son while we were still his enemies. See, where was the war? Really? The war was with God. We're his enemies. We will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in a wonderful new relationship with God because of our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. Jesus has made peace through the blood of the cross so that men can be reconciled to God and be his friends. That's where the peace comes from. That's where the real peace is. That's why Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. The ultimate fulfillment of Jesus' work was there in Romans 5 where he died on the cross. That was his fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah being the Prince of Peace. Matter of fact, we're going to talk a little bit more about that this Sunday. When we go finish up John chapter 12. The results of Romans chapter 5. For those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. Who become friends with God and are no longer enemies. It's peace with God. It's friendship with God. It's the peace of God. And then what happens is that you have the peace from God. When you receive Jesus Christ as the Prince of Peace. It's possible to live in peace with other people and with our circumstances. Some people say, well, Scott, you know, it's Christmas Eve, but man, I've got some turmoil going on in my life. Well, I hope this message is for you. I hope this scripture is for you today. because I don't want you to go home tonight worrying about anything. The Bible, Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, let's read this together. Are you ready? I don't know about you, but I use this one a lot. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, it starts with the Prince of Peace dying on the cross, you receiving the Prince of Peace as your Lord and Savior. Then you have peace with God, and then you can, when you're struggling, when you're worrying, when you're going through that hard time, you can call out to him and pray for his peace, and he will exchange your worry, he'll exchange your fear, and he will give you that peace that will guard your hearts. And it all comes because of the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. So before we leave here tonight, I always have to ask the question, have you given yourself to Jesus, the Prince of Peace? He gives his peace freely and generously. All you have to do is ask for it and believe in him. Have faith. Do you know that Jesus lives up to all those names? He does. He's lived up to them and surpassed those. But there's something that is not fulfilled yet out of Isaiah 9:6. What do you think that is? A little time for a little question. What's not fulfilled yet? Well, what's it say? What's that? The government that's not fulfilled yet. The government is, we're waiting for Jesus to take the government on his shoulders. Hey, here's the good news. Jesus is going to come back and take he is going to be the government. I don't know about you guys, but I'm kind of sick of this political party stuff. And here in a short time, I'm going to be sick of all these political commercials on TV. I'm sick of all the bickering that goes on in our country. I'm sick of the war. I'm sick of all this stuff. Jesus is going to come back, and the government's going to be on his shoulders. It is. I'm looking forward to that. Before Jesus could fulfill this prophecy, he had to take the cross on his shoulders, didn't he? He took the cross. As a matter of fact, we're going to celebrate that. The first Christmas was extraordinary, or extraordinary. I keep pronouncing that wrong. It's extraordinary. The virgin birth, the stars in the sky, the heavenly host. The next time it's been said, when Jesus comes by, it's going to be extraordinary too. It's going to be incomprehensible when he comes back. All I know is this: God came near you this first Christmas so that you could come near him. That's what he did. John 1:12 says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Jesus wants to give your life purpose and meaning. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to give you hope so that you can live forever. I tell people all the time, you know, our best days are ahead of us. It's not here on this world, in this earth. The best days are to come. The problem was, there actually were people that first Christmas that missed Jesus. You know, who do we usually think that missed? Who's the number one person, if you would say? What's the number one answer that missed Jesus? No, it's usually the innkeeper. Because what's the innkeeper's famous words? No room. That's the saddest words in the Bible, I'm telling you. No room for Jesus. No room. Some of the saddest words. He missed Christmas. He missed it. And many people miss Christmas today. They miss Jesus. A lot of good people for a lot of reasons. And they have no room for Jesus. And so this first Christmas, God gave us a Savior, a gift. A Savior wrapped up in the form of a baby. I keep pointing down here because I have the words. A really cool thing here. The word Savior right in front of me. Because with this Savior, you get everything. Without him, you have nothing. He's the gift that truly keeps on giving. So, I don't know if we're going to pray, and either tonight, now, or later on when you're at home. Because I don't know about you guys, but You know, usually at Christmas Eve, it gets kind of quiet late at night. And you get together all your thoughts up of what's taking place today or what's going to happen tomorrow. I'd tell you, if you haven't received Christ, the Savior of the world, make room for him in your heart. I'm going to pray, and I'm just going to, if you want to pray quietly with me and ask Christ to come into your life, to accept him as the gift that God gave to us, to you. God came near so that you came near you so you can be near to him. And so we're going to pray. And so if you have never done that tonight, I would tell you to pray and ask Christ to forgive you. Ask him to come into your life. Ask him to help you to follow him this Christmas. Lord, I thank you for, we do thank you for this gift that Isaiah couldn't comprehend. And we look back on it now, and Lord, I don't even know if even today we can still comprehend the greatness of the gift that you gave us in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's unimaginable. It's unthinkable of all the things that he's done. But all we need to know, and all anyone here tonight needs to know, is that they need you. So I pray right now, as we get ready to do communion, as we get ready to, remember your, not only tonight as we're remembering your birth, but we're remembering your death, that anyone here that hasn't truly accepted you, that would ask you to come in. It's simple. You like to keep things simple. It's just asking you to come into their life, to forgive you of their sin, and to help you change, to help them change directions. So Lord, if anybody would pray that prayer tonight, that ask you in their life, I pray, God, that you, I know you will answer them and just give them the gift this Christmas Eve of your Son, Jesus Christ, and eternal life. I pray that in your name, Jesus. Amen. Can I throw a curveball in here? Hey, Bonnie, Bonnie, would you come up here? And Tammy, I'm going to Tammy to come up here. So we're going to just help you. I'm going to have our wives help us.
I need all
so
the
you
help
can
I
explain guess. How we're going to do communion.
Okay. Tonight we're going to do communion by having you come forward, and we will, Scott will be on one side with Tammy, and Bonnie and I will be over here, and we will have the elements, and we'll take it all together up here. But you'll come down in a line and then go back to your seats, okay? So with that, let's do communion. I'm just sitting there thinking as Scott's talking about what a story. I mean, Star Wars thinks they got a story. I mean, we've got the God of heaven and that little baby who became that kid in the temple that stumped everybody and then became a man who died for us and then rose from the dead. I mean, doesn't get no better than that. So tonight we're going to do communion as we celebrate Christmas, and we're going to remember what he came here to do. He came here to die for us. It says, after he was, the night he was betrayed, it says, he took the bread and he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He wants us to remember this. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So let's honor the birth, death, and resurrection of Christ and remember all that he did tonight as we take the elements. I'm going to say a prayer here shortly. And if you've embraced Christ as your Savior, you don't have to be a member of this church. You can be a visitor. But if Christ is your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to take this. If you haven't, maybe not comfortable taking it, or you're struggling with something and you would prefer to stay in your seat, that's okay. You can do that. So as I pray, examine yourself, as the Bible says, and if everything's okay, come on up and remember him with the elements. So, Lord, we thank you so much for all you've done for us, for coming as that baby who grew to be a man, who died for us, shed your blood on the cross, and rose again, so that we might have that peace with you. So bless our time together. Forgive us of any unconfessed sin. Help us to just focus on you as we remember this right now. Clear our hearts and minds and help us to think of nothing but you as we take these elements. And we praise you, Lord, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, come. Yes, you can take them together. Yeah. Go ahead. Take them together. Yeah. Okay.
Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas. This represents the body and the blood of Christ. Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Take it. Yeah. Yeah. This is the body and the blood. Represents the body and the blood of Christ. This represents his blood and his body. Okay, the body and the blood. Sorry, let's take it together. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving yourself for us. Thank you for making us a part of your kingdom and keeping us forever. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
There are our cue. We're going to darken, bring down the lights, the house lights, and y'all got the candles. And so if you can stand, are we going to stand and have them sing with us? We're standing and sing with us? Okay. Amen. It's about the peace. It really is. Peace with God, peace of God, peace with God, peace. So it is about the peace. I'm getting a little confused on there, but at the end of the day, that's what it's about. Peace with God, peace on earth. So I pray as you go out tonight and you go home, and some will have some celebrations. There'll be gift wrapping in the morning, unwrapping of gifts, and it's going to be a great day tomorrow. I'm hoping that you spend it with family and friends, and I hope that Jesus is the center of your life, and he gives you that peace so that you can share it with others. I mean, that's it, the joy that comes at this time. So may God bless us. Lord, turn your face to these people tonight as they go out. Bless them with your peace, with your joy, with your goodness and your mercy, God. You've given us so much. Continue to pour it on these folks, I pray, in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Hey, Wellspring, from Merry Christmas from Wellspring Community Church.
Happy Thanksgiving.